When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Friday. And hopefully you are going to get some time to have some fun this weekend. Hopefully, I've got a busy weekend. Sandwich Fest tomorrow. Then the Podkawa 5K Sunday morning. And then Sunday night going to see Eddie Izzard at the Vets in Rhode Island. Very excited about that. Hopefully all the winners came by and picked up their tickets. If you see me there, come on over and say hi. And I think we're sitting relatively close to each other, so we should see each other there. And also, there's so many great things happening every weekend in this month. I mean, I wish I could be everywhere all at once, but I've got all my paranormal stuff booked. And people have been asking me, like, all right, Tim, it's October now. Where are you going to be? Where can we go see you? So on Wednesday of next week, I'm going to be presenting Presidential Paranormal for the Tewksbury Public Library, but you don't have to go to Tewksbury to see me. It's a virtual presentation. So you can watch it at home on Zoom wherever you are. If you want to register for it to make sure that you get in and you get a spot, you can go to tinyurl.com/presidentialtewksbury, which is spelled like Tewksbury, but it's Tewksbury. So if you would like to take part in that, you can. But locally, people are saying, well, you know, when can we go out and see you, Tim? Locally. On October 16th, I'm going to be at the New Bedford Public Library presenting From Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers. It's all about the history of the paranormal as relates to spiritualism. You know, it's called From Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers, how ghost hunting is really just modern day spiritualism. And the reason why it's called that is because the Fox sisters, of course, were in Hydesville, New York in 1849. They were the sisters that were having these interactions with the being they called Mr. Splitfoot and the knocks and the rappings on the wall. And that kind of kicked off the spiritualism craze. And then really now what we do is very similar to things they were doing then, just with more modern technology, and Ghost Brothers being, you know, a television show that came out a few years ago. So From Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers, that's going to be happening Wednesday, October 16th at 7 p.m. at the New Bedford Public Library. I don't know if the guy who harassed me last year at the library will be there again. We got to talk to each other for a bit at 50s night and seemed to get along okay. So hopefully he won't disrupt it like he did last time. And then also locally, I will be at the Millicent Library in Fairhaven on Wednesday, October 23rd at 6:30 p.m. presenting Ghosts of the South Coast. So we'll be talking about some local ghost stories then, and you can come on by and hear those. And these are, of course, all free to attend. Then One more local one, because I'm in like Belchertown and going all over the place. But one more local one would be Saturday, October 26th at the Freetown Police Department. I'm not getting arrested, but they have a nice community room there. Nice big room where they put on presentations. They don't have the space of the library, so the library hosts this at the Freetown Police Community Room, and I will be there talking about haunted objects, which I literally wrote the book on haunted objects. It's called Haunted Objects. But the stories that we collected in that book, I'll share some of those in this presentation, including, obviously, you expect there to be haunted dolls, haunted mirrors, things like that. But how about a haunted butter dish? You're going to have to come by to the Freetown Community Room on October 26th, Freetown Police Community Room, October 26th, to find out exactly the story behind that. This is the most wonderful time of year, in my opinion. It's a time of year when a lot of people are going out. They're looking for foliage. I mean, I'm looking out my window right now, and I can see all the different colors of the trees around the WBSM studio here. But people go out, and they get in the car. They drive hours to go look at the different colors of the foliage. And you'll get people that say, well, when we get up further north or further out, I hope we see a moose, right? I'd love to see a moose out in the wild. Wouldn't you love to just see a moose crossing the highway? Well, I can tell you one place that you don't want to see a moose, and it happened in New Hampshire. You don't want to see a moose in your backyard in-ground pool. Well, that's what happened in Bedford, New Hampshire. A wayward moose was rescued after getting stuck under the cover inside an in-ground pool in Bedford, New Hampshire, Thursday morning. 8:45 a.m., Bedford police and fire were called to a home on Riddle Drive for a report of a moose in a swimming pool. Like, how does the dispatcher take that call? Like, 911, what's your emergency? There's a moose in my pool. And then the dispatcher said, there's a moose in your pool. What's he doing? And the person said, I don't know, but it looks like the backstroke. No, come on. You don't remember that joke? Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. What is this fly doing in my soup? Looks like the backstroke. Anyway, so the first responders arrived. They found an adult moose in the swimming pool under the pool cover. They removed the cover to help encourage the moose to walk to the shallow end of the pool. The animal was then able to walk out of the pool on its own. And then he just took off from there. He just said, I'm just going to go in the woods. And so they wanted to remind people that moose can be very dangerous animals due to their size. They're not aggressive. They're not going to hurt you. But if this thing kind of freaked out under the pool cover and you're out there in your backyard trying to, like, let me take this pool cover off and get the moose out. But if it's, how did that happen? Do you think the moose was just like, I can go, take a bath in this pool or something, and then just kind of got stuck under the cover? I don't know. My big question is, do you think this is the first time that the moose has used their pool? I bet you every time they're not home, the moose throws pool parties, invites the other moose over, right? Because that's the plural of moose is moose, not meese. Invites the other moose over, and they're having a party out there. They're grilling deer. They're laughing about it. Like, ha ha. No. I don't know what they're grilling, but they're back there using these people's pool. And then I think what happened is maybe this moose is like, I'm going to go do a little skinny dipping, early morning skinny dipping before they wake up. And then they woke up and he was like, oh no, I'm caught. Let me pretend like I'm stuck. Let me pretend like I didn't mean to get into this pool. Like I haven't been using it all summer. And maybe they'll buy it. And I guess they did because they thought he really was stuck. Anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We will have coming up in about 10 minutes or maybe less, your first Money Talks cash code of the day. The first of 10 codes, each one of which can be an entry to win $30,000. If you hear the code and you enter it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app on the Money Talks page. So you want to stay tuned for that. Thanks to Mirasol's Cafe in Dartmouth and Fairhaven for sponsoring that. I can tell you that there's a friendly rivalry between WBSM and Fun 107. Maybe it exists more in my mind than it does in other people's minds. But, you know, Fun 107 is kind of like the big brother to WBSM, even though WBSM has been around a lot longer. We're closing in on 80 years of being on the air for you. They've been around a little over 30 years. So we are definitely the longer tenured station, but, you know, they're the big FM powerhouse. They're Bristol County, all of Bristol. There, you can hear them. Where was I listening to them? I was coming home from Marlboro, and I was getting Fun 107 in, you know, out in like Bellingham. They reach way farther than WBSM does. And so they do these, you know, they've been doing these cash giveaway promotions for years, and they get tons of entries. But I love the fact that look at how we're doing. We're closing in on you. The WBSM audience wants to win that money. And so it's very exciting to see the response that it's had. So thank you to everybody who has been playing, and I wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope that you are the $30,000 winner. And then you can start thinking about what you're going to do with that $30,000. So if you want to enter that, your code is coming up. Super easy to enter. You're already listening anyway. Why not get paid for it? There was another story that I want to bring to your attention. We had written about this at WBSM.com either earlier this week or late last week. I forget exactly when. But the idea of this this golden prize hidden somewhere in Massachusetts, this treasure hunt through Project Skydrop. And there is a winner, Dan Leonard, who is a meteorologist turned treasure hunter, cracked the mystery. And when he first heard about it, he said, "This is the coolest thing I ever heard." So he started getting involved in it and searching for it. They were releasing different new clues every day, and he was utilizing temperature data as a way to help find this golden prize. He looked closely within the game camera images posted on the website, taking note of the temperature readings in the corner and the cloud cover in each image. This is what he told Channel 5, WCVB. He said, "As far as temperatures went, what I did was triangulate the possible location based on all the weather events. That helped him to hone in an area in eastern Franklin County and northwestern Worcester County where similar temperatures were reported." He says, "I analyzed any time where it was sunny and any time where it was cloudy and sort of lined that up to possible areas where it could be. So I slowly whittled it down. It was a process of elimination." And what's funny is he was working on this like around his job, around his responsibilities at home. He and his wife just had a baby. And so he's using what little free time he has dedicating to trying to find this treasure. And it paid off. So what did he get? He got a 4-inch tall, 3-inch wide. It's like it looks kind of like a tornado. But it's made out of 10 ounces of 24-karat yellow gold. And considering the current price of gold, it's probably worth about $26,000 or more. They also accumulated $20 entry fees from treasure hunters into a bounty that will be paid out to the winner through Bitcoin that is supposedly worth about $87,600. And Leonard said, "It's the Bitcoin that's supposed to be the real prize, but honestly, the trophy itself is amazing. I mean, it's just a beautiful work of art." So, I don't know. It is pretty beautiful, but if I was like, I could have $86,000 or I could have $100,000 by selling this too and adding it to I mean, are you going to sell the Bitcoin? Are you going to hold on to it? What are you going to do? Honestly, I'm not a crypto guy. I'd cash that out. I'm not a gold collector. I would cash that out. and I would have $100,000, especially being new parents. Assuming, yeah, you'd probably get, you know, maybe $75,000 out of everything, but still, I'd be doing that. And I'd be saying, let's put this into the kids' college fund, or let's save it for the inevitable bills that we're going to get that we weren't expecting being young parents. But the trophy does look pretty cool. You can see photos of it on the WCVB website. I don't know if you got wrapped up in that. I don't know if you were taking part in it. If you did, give me a call. Send me an app chat message. 508-996-0500. I did a little bit of that randonauting a few years ago when that app became all the rage for a while. If you remember, that was the app that would give people coordinates and they would go to the coordinates and there were supposed to be like mysteries to be found. But there wasn't, people didn't plant something there. It was like kind of destined to see what would happen as a result of putting it out. I interviewed the creator of it on my Midnight Society show. And then people started finding dead bodies. I think there were two instances where people found a body. I think one was in the woods and one was on a beach. And it was just coincidental, but it was enough to kind of freak some people out. And there were people who thought that there was some nefarious intention behind this app that was really just designed to get people out and walking around and, you know, getting some fresh air during the pandemic. But the few times that I did it, I went with my friend. We had fun, but we didn't find anything. We just kind of roamed around and talked and found other cool things while we were out there, which is, you know, what it was designed to do. Get you to go out there, walk around, open your eyes, and see things that you might not have seen before. We didn't find any dead bodies. However, I may have driven by one last night. We're waiting for more information from the police and the DA's office. But drove by someone in the road on Acushnet Avenue last night. But I don't know. Could have been a variety of things. Could have just been somebody that, you know, got hit by a car. Could have been somebody that was tired and laid down and take a nap. I don't know. But when we have details, we will give them to you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, I'm going to take a break. And right now, you're going to get ready to get your first Money Talks code of the day. And welcome back in. We should make the Easy Beats a Friday tradition. We should play that every Friday. We'll play that in The Cure every Friday. So we're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but after that, we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. As I said, there were a number of incidents that have been, you know, reported to us that happened in New Bedford overnight. We've got emails into the police and the DA's office to try to find out more about them. If we can get an update on them, we will let you know. Chris is probably working some of his sources, and he can let you know what he hears when he comes in. And of course, he'll have all kinds of great conversation for you coming up with South Coast Now at 9 a.m., followed by Bill O'Reilly and then the Barry Richards Show, Howie Carr, Mark Levin, Charlie Kirk. And then we have, of course, all of our great Saturday programming tomorrow. Brian's Beat at 7 a.m. The Ken Pittman Show at 9 a.m. Ken should be back tomorrow after he was out sick last week. And then we will have Money Matters with Jose Matos. So all of the weekend programming here for you, except no spooky South Coast. Too much going on this weekend. But right now, to find out everything that's going on in the world of the news, let's turn things over to Phil Devitt.
It's back to work on the docks from Maine to Texas. Country music star Garth Brooks faces serious accusations. And the real Slim Shady is becoming a grandpa.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A tentative deal has been reached to end the dock worker strike until January 15th. Jacqueline Carl has more.
The International Longshoremen's Association and management groups have reached a tentative deal on wages, and negotiations will continue, one longshoreman explains.
We discussed the wages part. In the 3 months, we're going to talk at the table about automation, all the other language that's involved in the contract.
For now, this deal will get supplies back into stores. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says, I continue to urge the USMX and the ILA to reach an agreement that respects the rights of workers and ensures a permanent flow of goods. The dock workers' strike only lasted a few days, but it had a big impact. Jacqueline Coral, NBC News Radio, New York.
President Biden says there is progress being made as recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene continue.
FEMA teams are literally knocking on doors to register folks so they can receive assistance to buy what they urgently need.
The storm claimed at least 200 lives in the southeast, deadliest storm in the U.S. since Katrina. Former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney says she supports Vice President Harris in the November election.
Vice President Harris is standing in the breach at a critical moment in our nation's history. She's working to unite reasonable people from all across the political spectrum.
Speaking Thursday in the battleground state of Wisconsin, Cheney said Harris is standing in the breach at a critical moment in the nation's history and wants to unite everybody. Former President Trump says he needs his supporters to vote in huge numbers to assure his election.
We have to be too big to rig. You know that. Too big to rig. Turn out and vote in record numbers. Too big to rig.
Speaking at a rally Thursday in Saginaw, Michigan, the GOP presidential candidate reminded supporters that mail-in voting has begun in several states. The Israeli military has been striking Hezbollah targets in Beirut overnight. Israeli officials say the airstrikes are targeting a militant leader who they believe will take over for Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah, who was killed in an airstrike last Friday. Israeli airstrikes have reportedly killed over 1,300 people in Lebanon since mid-September. Country music star Garth Brooks is accused of sexual assault and battery by a hairstylist and makeup artist. Brian Shook has more.
The Jane Roe in the lawsuit says she worked for the singer when the alleged incidents happened in 2019. She alleges Brooks raped her once during a work trip. Brooks has previously denied her claims. I'm Brian Shook.
There's new alternatives to those ultra-hot habanero peppers.
Vegetable breeders at Oregon State University have developed two new mild habanero peppers. It's taken 25 years to create the peppers that aren't like extremely hot peppers. They're called natajada and mild thing. They're described as having unique fruity and floral flavors, but lower heat levels. The seeds are expected to be available at farmers markets next year so home gardeners can grow them.
I know this big girl, and she's really pretty. You know what her name is?
Haley.
And Eminem is going to be a grandfather. The 51-year-old Detroit rap star made the announcement in the video for his song Temporary, released yesterday. Video shows him sitting on a deck when daughter Haley Jade hands him a blue Detroit Lions jersey with a number one and grandpa on the back.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins lost to Los Angeles Kings 4-1. Final preseason game with the Washington Capitals Saturday. NBA preseason, Celtics take on the Denver Nuggets today at noon. Patriots home to play the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. Listen to the game here on WBSM, kickoff at 1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Gray skies out there this morning. And as we head into the afternoon, we'll be under mostly cloudy skies, but some sunshine. Temperatures topping out around 70. We'll be moving into the weekend with mostly cloudy skies overnight, mid-50s. Slight chance for some passing showers as we head into tomorrow, first thing in the morning. Turning mostly sunny by the afternoon, low 70s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
my favorite songs from Sparks. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, my friend.
How's it going?
Is that incident you're talking about in the avenue last night about 9:30-ish? Maybe a little after?
I drove through at 11:30.
Oh, okay, because I saw a situation where first responders had one complete block blocked off, not far from me. So.
Oh, maybe there was multiple things going on. It seems like that. We got reports of a couple of different things, so who knows?
So Wednesday, I was up there in Font's Corner with a client, had some time to kill, went over to the Phoenix, and was harassing the guys on the grill, and brought you up, and they said, oh, yeah, he promotes us, but we tolerate him.
Well, yeah. Firefighter Anthony came in. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that they remembered. I don't want to give too much information away because it's somebody that I'm working on a story about. But they remembered a person that I used to work with at Mill Pond Diner, who was the last person that cooked on the grill in front of people there at Mill Pond Diner. And wow. I said, you know, when she left, they retired that front grill and said we could never have anybody else work out there because nobody else could do it as good as she did. And so we never did. And I always wanted to do that. And the boss was like, no, all you do is yell and swear back in the kitchen. It would be even worse if you were in front of people. But it takes a special skill to be able to make that breakfast in front of people right there on the grill.
But yeah, I told him I was going to call in and let you know. And absolutely. I kept it basic. I just had a simple, nice cheese roll, nice big and bulky, and a cup of coffee. I was in and out in like 15 minutes, so I wanted something quick. But yeah, they got a great menu and good people. It was till the end of the day, so they were just wrapping up, and it was worth it.
Well, there you go. Well, I hope that you have a great weekend. One. Take it easy. And I was gonna mention to Phil there, but I don't want to go. I know fire safety is something that he is big on because of, you know, the fires that we've had in recent years, and he's lost people that he knows in them. But firefighter Anthony came by yesterday to Dash Laundromat while we were there and was reminding me to remind everybody that it is October is Fire Safety Month. And he just sent an app chat message as well. Today's Fire Safety Friday tip is a reminder to test all smoke alarms and to change batteries at least once a year. Smoke alarms truly save lives. Have a safe day, firefighter Anthony. And we are going to have him come in at some point before the end of the month, maybe even next week, depending on his schedule and what I have booked. And we'll have him come in, we'll have him sit down and really get into fire safety with us because a lot of people take things for granted and we want to make sure that we are keeping people as safe as possible. The other part of fire safety that you might not take into account is you can do everything that you can to keep your home safe. But you've also got to wonder about your neighbors and what they're doing as well. So we'll talk with him about all of that because it's a very important thing, especially in the city where houses are so close together. There are multiple apartments and buildings, and we've seen what happened in some of these fires in recent years. Which, you know, knock on Formica, we've been able to battle back a lot of these before they could get worse. Well, not we, but the great people in the New Bedford Fire Department. But educating people on fire safety is step one in making sure that you don't have to answer that call. So hopefully, not only will you take those tips to heart, but so will others as well. We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Time to check in with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And then we're going to be joined by a special guest right after that. Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I know you guys are always busy over there, especially on Friday. So thank you for taking some time out with us. What's going on over at the Butcher Shop this weekend?
I do a lot of stuff, brother. You know, the usual. I got a lot of nice steaks. I just took some nice chardis out of the smoking house, Linguiza. Nice and fresh, spicy, mild. I got fillets, I got chicken legs, I got leg quarters, I got everything, brother, whatever you need.
We got a phone call from somebody yesterday who said they're coming by to get some celebrity pork chops and a tomahawk steak.
Yeah, well, look, I got them, dude. They want them, I got them.
And we were also talking yesterday about how yesterday was the anniversary of the invention of the buffalo wing, and you guys got some really, really great wings over there.
Yeah, I like to sell the party wings. You know, the ones that are already split. Mm-hmm. It's just convenient, dude. There's no tips, no pain in the ass. You know what I mean? You don't have to deal with that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, what are you going to be having this weekend?
Dude, I don't even know, bro. I'm in a rough spot right now. I might have, you know, I think I'm going to go with short ribs. I think I'm going to get some short ribs. I think I'm going to put them in the grill and have them.
That sounds pretty good. And I know you're always cooking up some great stuff, too. You're cooking up some, I know, fish on Friday, but what do you got working up for people want to come by and grab a hot lunch?
I forgot it's Friday. Friday fish day, dude. I got nice fillets today. I got some octopus. I got lobsters. Dude, you want it, I got it.
I will say this, too. I've had octopus all over the city. You guys have the best.
Oh, you like that? Good. I'm glad you like that.
So good. All right. Well, everybody should stop by the butcher shop, get stocked up for the weekend, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Thank you, Eric, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I got you, brother. I got wines, too.
Oh. Well, now between wine and octopus, I might have to make a stop by before I go home today.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you.
Have a good one. All right. And we're going to be joined right now. You know, we've been talking about this story with the 12 tribes. And this gentleman, I shouldn't use that term, but the man who was arrested and convicted on these indictments of child rape and indecent assault. And people are debating whether or not, you know, this is a bad apple, or is it the culture of this cult that has led to this type of behavior? And joining us now on the line, we have from the Cult Education Institute, Rick Ross, who can enlighten us more about 12 tribes. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Tim.
Thank you for joining us. And you know, I immediately thought of you when I said I want to be able to supply the audience with more information about what this 12 tribes organization is about. You and I have talked about them in the past. It seems to me like people have... it's really a mystery to a lot of folks that live in the same community as them as to what they're all about.
Well, what they're all about is a guy by the name of Gene Spriggs, who started this group in Chattanooga, Tennessee in the 1970s. Spriggs considered himself a prophet and created this group, which has multiple communities across the United States and internationally. And they run businesses such as the Yellow Deli, and they also own mate tea kind of pubs, and they also are involved in flipping real estate. They were busted for illegal labor violations in New York State, where they were working children unsafely, and they have a long history of treating children very badly. And though I wouldn't say that sexual abuse is inherent in the group in the sense that it is a practice of the group, they have a history of ignoring complaints. That is, if children are hurt, if they're abused, they would rather keep things quiet, not go to authorities, not have someone arrested, which I think has you know, come out in this particular case where children were abused. I worked with one child that had been removed from the group by the FBI. The group has a history of child custody disputes and parents who are in the group fleeing with children and taking them against court order and hiding them within the group. And two children were recovered years ago, and I worked with them. And subsequently, I found out that one of the boys had been molested, had complained about it at the age of 10, and was punished and locked in a closet, and authorities were never contacted. So this is just a deeply problematic group with a history of problems, abuses, and, you know, really child neglect and child abuse.
So one of the things that has come up in the community conversation about this is because these incidents with these children happened in properties that were owned by 12 tribes, people are wondering what is the possibility that this could have been happening without other people in the tribe knowing, or would they have been aware of this person and their activities?
They may not have been aware, but if they were aware, the way that this group works, it's very authoritarian. people live in houses together as arranged by the group. They have an elder or shepherd that is appointed over them, and they don't do pretty much anything without consulting the hierarchy of the group, and that would keep things quiet. This is a group where children are homeschooled, where they really don't have that much contact with the outside world. It's a very insular community.
And one of the things that has been brought up is that, you know, they could have been aware of this, but that the organization, the group, tries to handle things on their own form of punishment, that they're not, you know, going to turn somebody into the authorities because they try to handle things internally. Is that something that you've seen with 12 tribes before, that they mete out their own justice?
I think what they do is they ignore complaints regarding children. The group, keep in mind that this is a group that has a history of physical abuse with children. They encourage parents to beat their children. They will take sticks and dip them in resin and beat the children with those sticks. One parent that I worked with fled the group because she no longer was willing to do that with her own children. And I've talked to many young people who fled the group as they reached the age of 18 or older, and they would tell me horror stories about the way they were treated within the group. And regardless of their complaints, which were ignored, nothing was done to the perpetrators, nothing was done to protect them.
So if these kind of things are going on with these communities, and maybe not necessarily locally here in Plymouth, Massachusetts, but in other places where these abuses have been reported, why do communities let these groups still continue to open businesses? I mean, in Plymouth, they own three different businesses. And from my understanding, you know, the town leaders consider them to be great business owners in town. Why are they able to keep this going if these are the charges levied against them?
Because the people that are in, you know, city government and child protective services probably are not aware of any specifics regarding the group, because it is such an insular group. And when it comes to their businesses, I think you need to understand that the people who staff these businesses are members of the group, and they're basically working for nothing more than room and board. And as I said previously, they have been guilty of labor violations. So you can make quite a bit of money from a business when all you're paying people is room and board, when they don't have benefits like they would in a conventional business, and all the money is going to the group hierarchy. This is a group that is worth millions and millions of dollars in accumulated assets, businesses, and that money basically is managed by the leaders in the group. And the general membership, which are very dedicated people, deeply indoctrinated and committed, they work earnestly, but they don't receive the kind of compensation that you would expect that they would. And if they determine that they want to leave the group, they literally leave with nothing but the clothes on their back. And when people enter this group, they surrender their assets to the group, which they will not be given back if they leave.
So just the final question here, because I do have to take a break before the end of the program here. So with this being a locally operating organization to our area, people probably know somebody who is involved in it or is thinking about getting involved in it because they're very charismatic in their recruiting. What should people do if they have a family member or a loved one that is possibly getting involved with 12 tribes?
Do research. Understand who you're dealing with. Anyone who is interested in learning the background, the history of the 12 tribes, can go to culteducation.com, which is the Cult Education Institute. There is a very large archive of records, reports regarding the 12 tribes, so that people can see that this very deeply troubled history of this group. And I would warn anyone that is given pamphlets by the group, encouraged to attend their activities, that this is a deeply controlling authoritarian group, and to beware. But if a family member becomes involved, I would not be confrontational. I would not be argumentative. Instead, I would study the historical information about the group, and then they might eventually decide to do an intervention if they felt that things had gotten to a point where that person in their family was at risk. My book, Cults Inside Out, explains how such interventions are done and goes into even further depth about the dynamics and the practices of destructive cults.
Well, Rick, thank you for joining us. And someday when, you know, I know you've got a very busy schedule, but maybe sometime we can have you come on and we can get a little bit more in depth with it.
Well, thank you, Tim.
All right. Thank you so much. And you have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
That is Rick Ross. Again, culteducation.com. That is the website for the Cult Education Institute, where you can learn more about 12 tribes and actually any other group. If you hear somebody, a loved one, family member, friend getting involved with any group, go to that website and research it. You will probably find something on them, whether it be that they have, you know, done some nefarious things, or whether it be that just, you know, people have had questions about them. It's a great resource to find out more. I've got to take my final break of the program. We'll be back in just a few. And that'll about do it for me for today and for this week. I'll be back on Monday. Hopefully I'll see a bunch of you at the Podkawa 5K. It's happening this Sunday morning. The race kicks off at 9 a.m. I'll be walking, not running. And you can make a donation if you go to southcoast.org and look at the...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.